All right, so I got to be real. I was fighting that run the whole time. Like, all right, Lord, I'm gone. Do what you do. If you understand God deserves every single bit of praise that we can give him, make some noise in this place. If you understand he's been so good that it don't make no sense, make some noise in this place. If you understand you could have been dead a long time ago, but only because of his grace and mercy, you still here. Make some noise in this place. Yeah! He deserves it always. However we can give it, he deserves it. It's never too much. He always deserves it. Ah! Ah! God is good! Yeah! God is good! All right. Before we get started, I got to acknowledge some people in the room. They already told you. My mother's here. You can hear her. Most people know her anyway. My mother's here. I have two of my patients that are here. Yeah, I'm going to call y'all out. Andrew and Lori Gerard. Go ahead and stand up so everybody can see you. Wave at them. I love these people. These my folks right here. These my folks. I got so many members of my family sitting over here. Family section, go ahead and stand up. Go ahead and stand up. Get up. Get up. Pooh, don't sit down. Pooh, don't sit down. This is my beautiful wife right here, y'all. That's my baby. And my boys are in here somewhere. My bonus sons, I don't know where they're sitting. Most likely in the balcony. I just can't see you right now. Now, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for being all that you are. Father, the measure to which you have been good, we cannot even proclaim or understand. Father, right now I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Let your word go forth. Let your people be blessed. Let lives be changed. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's a game that's come out for adults. It's called Tell Me Without Telling Me. Now, I'm pretty sure it came from this trend that I've been seeing on Facebook and Instagram for a while, where people will ask that exact same question. Tell me without telling me. I'll give you a for instance. Tell me without telling me that you are a Prince fan. What proof would you bring? Would you bring out, yeah, the ooh, would you bring out some tickets from back in the day of one of the concerts you went to? Would you pull out your original Purple Rain music poster? Or would you show me one of them obscure CDs that Prince recorded that didn't nobody know about? Raven to the Joy Fantastic. What? Yeah, he did a couple of them. If I said, tell me without telling me that you grew up in the 90s, what would you use? Would you bring back out your cross colors gear? Y'all remember biking shorts? What about British Knights and Troops? Now, let's go to the haircuts for a minute. Fellas had the high top fade with the Gumby slant to it. Ladies, y'all wasn't no better because y'all had that short haircut up top curled with long in the back. Y'all know that wasn't nothing but a mullet, right? Now, if I said, tell me without telling me that you are a Christian, what would you use? Would you tell me about your attendance record at church on Sundays? Would you tell me how much you gave in tithes and offerings? Would you point to the crucifix that you wear around your neck? A lot of people miss what the true calling card of a Christian is supposed to be. John. Chapter 13, verse 35 says this. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love should be the number one characteristic of a believer. But sadly enough, when a lot of people inside and outside the faith hear the word Christian, they don't automatically think love. A lot of people think judgmental, hateful, hurtful, hypocritical. This is what's on a lot of people's minds. But love should be number one. Mahatma Gandhi was quoted as saying, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians." Love should be the flashing neon sign that announces your presence in a room. And love should also be the lingering aroma that is left behind long after you have departed. Love. In these times, we are to love others because God loves us. And I believe that these days when so many people are flirting with hate, Christians need to lead the way in taking our communities, our nation, and the world back to love. So this morning, let us dive into the word and discover insight on how to love people like God tells you to. How to love people like God tells you to. Our focus verse for the morning is Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Now, let me give you some background on where we are right now. Jesus is on tour. He's going city to city doing God's work, and the more popular he gets, he either gets more followers or more people fighting against him. And at this particular passage of scripture, Jesus is talking to a group of people, and one of the Pharisees asks him a question. The question is, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds with, "I won't just give you one, I'll give you two." And this is where this scripture picks up. Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Now, don't miss this. God told us to love two things and two things only, himself and each other. God never told you to love your money. God never told you to love your job. God never told you to love your status, your image, your clothes, your appearance. He said, love God and love people. And you are to love both of them in tandem. If you love God but you don't love people, you are missing the mark. If you love people but you don't love God, you are missing the mark. Now, if you love animals but you don't love God or people, that's just weird. And I think you need to work that out in counseling. So, to love people like God tells you to, number one, you have to give the love that God gives. Give the love that God gives. Point number one. Now, the word love in this passage of scripture, in English, we use the word love pretty universally. But in the Koine Greek, in which the New Testament was written, they had different words for love. One word for love is eros. Eros is romantic love. It is the love that'll take you up high and drop you down low. Eros is that love that most love songs are written about. When Al Green said, "Love and happiness, it'll make you do wrong." Yeah, he was talking about this type of love. Now, this type of love can be powerful and impactful. However, this type of love is fickle. This love is inconsistent because it is conditional. Chances are, if you are giving love to someone and they're not returning it back, you're going to stop sending love their way after a while. This is eros. The next one is philia. This is brotherly love or friendship love. Now, in a lot of the rap songs, there's a theme amongst the guys. I ride for my homies. I die for my homies. Touch them other hitters. Yeah, all of that. Now, typically, that is brother-to-brother love. I got your back. You got my back. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If you see a 75-year-old black man at a funeral crying about someone he was not related to, you just saw philia. Because 75-year-old black men don't cry for nothing. That's that type of love. Now, the third type of love is storge. Storge is probably the one on earth that is closest to the type of love that God has for us, but it's not quite there yet. Storge is family love, familial love, or parental love. Put this picture up for me, because I want you to see something. That picture, oh, exactly, that's what I'm talking about right there. Now let's be real, daddies, go with me for a second. That's false advertising, and you know it. Ladies just got all mushy over this baby, you don't even know that kid. You don't know what type of issues they gonna have, but you have instantly given love to this kid without condition. This is what happens when you start to get into parental love. However, this love starts off unconditional, but it changes down the line. When these kids grow up, you start to expect some things in return. One of the things you expect is obedience. Just do what I told you to do. Out of all the love I've given you, the least you can do is clean up your room. One of the things you expect is independence. For as much as I've loved you and for as much as I've done for you, I do expect you to move out of my house at some point. I want to come visit you. I don't always want you on my couch. What you do expect after a while is the love to be returned to you in a tangible way. Yeah, buy me a birthday present with your money instead of mine. You do expect this after a while. Now, the last type of love, the love that we're talking about, is agape love. Agape is selfless, sacrificial, and unconditional love that is a choice of the will, not just an emotion. It is a commitment to seeking the well-being of the person that you are giving this love to. This kind of love is characterized by action and sacrifice. It is given regardless of whether the other person is deserving of this love, and it is given regardless of whether the person reciprocates this love. This is the love that you are to give to others, because this is the love that God gives to you. Now, when the subject of this message was announced, talking about loving people, I know somebody in the room said, I don't have a problem loving people. Now, first of all, some of y'all that said that was straight up lying. But the other side of this, I'll give you some understanding. I give you partial credit for you thinking you don't have an issue loving people. I submit to you today, you don't have a problem loving some people. You don't have a problem loving certain people. Those that have meant something to you, you don't have a problem loving them. Those that love you, you don't have a problem loving them. Those that you have a lot in common with, you don't have a problem loving them. But do you love all people? Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. Let's read it together. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you only love those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are only kind to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. Jesus turned it up. Now, I got to explain something to you. Right there in verse 48, where it says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, the English word perfect is not doing justice to what that's talking about. The original Koine Greek word for that is teleos. Teleos. Teleos does not mean faultless. It does not mean sinless. It does not mean without flaw. Teleos means complete. Teleos means mature. Teleos means fully developed. So what Jesus in essence is saying is love all people, including your enemies. That way your love will be complete, mature, just like God's. Give the love that God gives. Now, point number two, Give the love you want to receive. Give the love you want to receive. Mark 12 and 31 is a reference to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Now, specifically, in Leviticus 19, God lays out a bunch of directives to the Israelites about how to show love to one another. One of the things that he tells them to do is when you are harvesting your field and gathering your crops, do not go all the way to the edge of your land. Leave some of the harvest there so that passersby can have something to eat while they're on their way. God also told them when you are gathering your crops, if you drop some wheat behind, if you drop some grapes behind, don't go back and pick them up. Leave them there so people who are less fortunate than you can have something to eat. Gives a great picture of how to show love to your neighbor. Now we come to verse 18, and it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, in applying the concept of loving someone as yourself, there's another scripture that comes to my mind, and it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Most of you are familiar with the passage, but we're going to read it together just the same. The New Living Translation says this: do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. We're going to read the next version, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. This is the NIV. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Most of us are familiar with this passage, but a lot of times you may have been misquoting it just the same. I gave you two versions of it because I wanted you to see what it says, but I also, more importantly, wanted you to see what it did not say. It did not say, do unto others the exact same thing they did to you. It does not say, do unto others all the stuff you think they did to you. It definitely does not say, do unto others before they can do it to you. None of that is in there. You have to pay attention specifically to what this passage of scripture is talking about. Give to others what you would want them to give to you. Now, I told you earlier I have some bonus sons. I've got two that are older than my daughter, two that are younger than my daughter, and the two that are younger than my daughter are Deuce and Landon. Now, Deuce and Landon used to present an interesting scenario to myself and their mother on a regular basis. It typically played out like this. Landon would come into the room, upset, disgruntled, and on the edge of tears. And we're like, Landon, what's wrong? Y'all need to get Deuce. Now, typically, Landon was the victim and Deuce was the offender. This is normally how this went down. Landon, what do we have to get Deuce for? He held me down on the bed and put his armpit in my face and made me smell it. If you got young sons, take notes. This is coming. Now, after so many instances of this type of stuff going on, we had a Bible study. We brought up Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Deuce, would you want him to hold you down and make you smell his armpits? No, sir. Well, don't do it to him. This ain't rocket science, man. Let's just go with the word. Times actually changed after we brought in the Bible. Do unto others what you would want them to do to you. And conversely, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Let me give you some bullet points on how you can give the love you want to receive. If you don't want people to talk crazy to you, don't talk crazy to them. If you want people to speak kind words to you, speak kind words to them. If you want understanding when you're struggling, give understanding when they're struggling. If you want a friend, be friendly. If you get attitude, you will receive attitude. I know a light bulb just went off for somebody in this room. Somebody thinking, that's why people always coming at me? Yeah, because you're always coming at them. Yeah, stop it. Cut it out. Now, when Jesus said to this group of religious leaders, love your neighbor as yourself, Somebody in the group tried to justify himself, and he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus told this story. It's the Good Samaritan story, as we call it. Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. Now, this is what happened. A Jewish man was on a journey, took a particular road, but while he was on his way to his destination, he was attacked, assaulted, beaten, stripped naked, robbed, and left on the side of the road for dead. Three other people came in contact with him while they were on this road as well. First person who came in contact with him, first person who saw him, was a priest, a Jewish priest. Jewish, just like the person on the side of the road. This Jewish priest saw the man lying there from a distance, decided he would cross the street to the other side and keep on moving. Second person is a Levite. Now, in today's vernacular, the priest would have been something like a pastor or a minister. The Levite would be something like a worship leader, a deacon, or a trustee. Now, the Levite came upon this man, saw him, looked at him, then crossed the road and went on by. Now, the third person who came upon the man saw the man in need. Now, this man was a Samaritan, not a Jew. Now, I got to tell you about the relationship between Jews and Samaritans. They didn't get along. And it wasn't because of the Samaritans. It was because of the Jews. Jews were prejudiced against Samaritans. The reason why, Samaritans were half-breeds. They were a mix of Jewish bloodline and Assyrian bloodline, so Jewish people didn't like their impurity. For all intents and purposes, if the Jewish man had been awake and alert, it's a good chance he would not have let the Samaritan even touch him, much less help him. But the Samaritan, in spite of all of this, picked the man up, put him on his donkey, took him to the nearest hotel, nursed him back to health, and paid his bill. Now, Jesus posed the question back to the man who had inquired of him. Who was a neighbor to the one in need? Of course, the answer is the one that stopped to help. Jesus said, "Now go and do the same." Now, let's look at this from a much more personal perspective. Let's say you are driving up McGregor on the side of the road. You see a man lying there who does not look like you, but he is in need. He's been beaten, possibly left for dead, has nothing. You get out of your car, you go up to him to inspect the scene, and you see that he has a large Confederate flag tattooed on his back. You see that this man has a Nazi swastika tattooed on his calf muscle. You see that this man has a MAGA tattoo on his right shoulder. What do you do? Now you know what Jesus said. Now, do you help or do you keep on moving? Now, let me make a point. Something we got to put out here, something we got to make clear. You can totally disagree with someone and still love them. These days, it has become popular to assume that if somebody disagrees with you, then they hate you. And vice versa. If you disagree with them, they think you hate them. You can disagree with someone's lifestyle, politics, or ideas and still love them. In fact, if their lifestyle, politics, or ideas are sinful, you are supposed to disagree with them. But this is the thing. Hate and disagree are not synonymous. They don't mean the exact same thing. Look, I love my wife and kids dearly, but we don't agree 100% of the time. In fact, I typically disagree with them because I love them. Because if they're doing something that's not in their own best interest, yeah, we got to butt heads on that thing. We got to lock horns on it. So if you would appreciate someone showing you love in your time of need, then show them love in their time of need. If you would count it a blessing to receive love, then be a blessing and give love. Give the love you want to receive. Now, third point, if you're going to love people like God tells you to, give the love that looks like love. Give the love that looks like love. Some people love in a way that's not appealing. And the reason why is because what they're offering doesn't look like love. Now, I got to tell you, when I was younger, there was a man that used to love to barbecue for my family. But we didn't love for him to barbecue as much as he loved to barbecue. Reason why, he wasn't good at it. His brisket didn't look like brisket. His chicken didn't look like chicken. He had this specific Cajun recipe. It was blackened. Burnt. Typically, his meat was this charred up, mangled mass, and we didn't want that. Now, we didn't dispute the fact that this man said it was barbecue. We just had to question whether we wanted that on our plates. Now, in all seriousness, sadly enough, some people's version of love is so questionable that it will make you think twice about whether you want it or not. Gonna show you a short video clip. Judge Mathis was presiding over a particular case that applies to what we're talking about right now.
Moved out to St. Louis, Missouri with my aunt and my uncle.
You moved there from where?
From Oakland, California. It was too many problems in Oakland and stuff, and I was going through a lot of problems out there. I wanted to live a good life.
Trying to get away from the tough streets of Oakland.
Exactly, Oakland, California.
So what happened when you moved in?
All right, I moved in with my uncle and my aunt, and, like, our relationship was fine up to, like, June. Or one morning, he busted in my room, you know, talking about busted open the door, talking about turn the music down or something. Music was real low. Asked me, you know, I said, excuse me, you could have knocked. He said, I could have knocked. He said, this is my house. I don't have to knock about nothing. We went and grabbed the big stick that he used to beat the dogs with and put it and was like, I'm
Your Honor, that is a lie. He was running around between 6 and 7 a.m. Keep running in and out of my bedroom talking about, oh, I'm too tired. I don't want to go to work. My sickle cell is acting up. I can't go to work.
He has sickle cell anemia?
But he goes out, he went out every night.
And I don't even want to talk to you, man. You disrespectful.
Yeah. How many times I told you, the number one rule, no man is a bigger man than me in my house. And I said, you open your mouth again, we can take it outside.
Your Honor,
I let him know right then and there.
Your Honor, that's the truth. This dude is crazy. He threw a knife at
that's
me.
Not, like, that's not cool. That's not crazy. That's defending my house. You,
I mean,
you
would
have.
I'm your nephew, man.
You're not nothing to me. You
no,
hurt me.
I understand that now. I understand that now, Tony. I understand I'm not
man,
nothing to you now
no
because
more
you hurt
this.
My feelings,
you,
dude.
You know,
you ruined
why?
My life.
I don't hear no more of this. Hand me a piece of tissue, man. Did this damn young man move from the streets of Oakland to escape the gangs, plead out to you for help? You let him move in there knowing what he done went through all his life. He running from the street gangs. How many young people run from the street gangs and try and escape? None. Most of them stay there and try and survive and kill each other or destroy themselves. He got sickle cell anemia, no parents. And yeah, I'm crying because I see myself in it. There's one thing to give a young man tough love, but where's the love? All I hear is toughness.
Cool.
Judge Mathis had to ask the question, where's the love? Because it didn't look like it was there. So what should love look like? I'm glad you asked that question. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 6. We will read it together. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. These days, in private relationships, on public forums, in mainstream media, and definitely in social media, Most of the opinions and actions of people don't look like love. This is different. These days, to be honest with you, if somebody's laying on the side of the road in need, a person passing by is more likely to record them than help them. And then they'll post the video. Love is patient and kind. But how often do we see what's supposed to be love come out as pushy and mean? Love is not boastful or rude, but that seems to be the flavor of the day. Love keeps no record of wrongdoing, but retribution seems to be a major political agenda. And even outside of politics, the clapback, getting your get back, keeping receipts, all of these have become the thing to do, but nothing here looks like love. Now let's bring this love talk home and make it a little bit more personal. Years ago, I heard a counselor say that strangers tend to get the best versions of us. Co-workers and colleagues get the best presentation of ourselves. They get the considerate version of us. They get the polite version of us. And those in our own home get the leftovers after we've been giving all day to those outside of our home. But think about this for a second. Who should get the best version of you? Those that barely know you or those that are the closest to you? We know the answer to the question. John Lennon. Does everybody remember who John Lennon was? He was one of the Beatles. John Lennon was shot in 1980, leaving behind a son named Julian Lennon. Now, while John Lennon was alive, he wrote countless songs that dealt with love, peace, concern for your fellow man. He inspired millions. However, when John Lennon's son Julian was asked about his father, he made this statement. I have to say that from my point of view, I felt he was a hypocrite. Dad could talk about peace and love out loud to the world, but he could never show it to the people who supposedly meant the most to him, his wife and son. I respect his music immensely, but as a father, I respect him not at all. Obviously, John Lennon missed the mark with someone that he professed to love. Let's not do the same. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 10 says this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Give the love that looks like love. God commands that we love people. But the only way we can actually get this done is if we focus on the God that told us to do so and do not focus on the people that will receive the benefit of it. The reason why, let's be honest for a minute, people are a trip. People got issues. They can be whack. People can be moody, disagreeable. Take your pick of the things you want to say about people and why you would choose to withhold love from them. Now, depending on your experience with certain people, you may even feel justified in hating somebody. I mean, there's so many flaws, so many faults, so many issues. And seriously, you could make a full-time job out of sitting down and recording all the mistakes and all the problems that people have. But think about this. If God did that exact same thing to you, his list would be much more condemning. But instead of condemnation, God showed us love to the highest degree. And he didn't wait until we were lovable to do so. Romans 5 and 8 says this. While we were still sinners, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are simply paying forward the love that we have already received. Now let's bring this home for a minute. God has been merciful when he would have been justified in being mean. God has been kind when he would have been justified in killing us. God has been gracious when he could have held a grudge. God's love is so good that it just don't make no sense. I say he is ridiculously good. Because the truth is, I get on my own nerves sometimes. If I was God, I'd have been done with me a long time ago. But I'm so thankful that God has a different kind of love. For those of us who are grown up in the room, you've probably realized this truth already. Earth ain't heaven. This place got problems. And one of the issues that's at the top of that list is a lack of love. Maya Angelou was quoted as saying, "Hate has caused a lot of problems in this world, but it has not solved one yet." Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." So, how will you tell that you're a Christian without telling that you're a Christian? Will you show God's love to all people in a way that lets them know how much he loves you? I pray that when the moment presents itself and the opportunity arises, you will obey God, honor your Savior, and love people the way God tells you to. Let us pray. Dear God, our Father, we thank you so much for being you. Father, please continue to make us over. Father, please continue to show us what we need to do to be proper representatives of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for all that our eyes have seen and all that our ears have heard. Let this word find fertile ground in our hearts and make us over. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. All right, everyone in the room with the ability, stand to your feet. Everyone in the room who is able-bodied, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Now, I'm going to ask in advance that nobody cut out of the sanctuary right now. There is a very important invitation that's about to happen. Somebody is going to make an eternal decision. I don't want you moving around to distract them. Pastor often says, you can't export what you haven't first imported. You can't give the love of God to somebody else if you've never accepted it for yourself. You don't have anything to draw from. Now, this is the case. God loves you like crazy. And he's been showing you this for the entirety of your life. He's taken care of you. He's provided for you. He's covered you when you know some stuff should have hit you right in the face that was of your own making. And the biggest thing that God has done to show you love is he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross in your place. Jesus giving you salvation, paying that price for you, was a love gift. But there are two things you can do with the gift. You can accept it or reject it. The choice is yours. Now, if you reject this gift, you deal with those consequences. But if you accept this gift, you enter into a relationship with God that will bless not just this life, but also the next. Now, I have to point something out to you. God's love is not conditional, but it does have an expiration date on it. When you close your eyes and your heart stops beating, he's not going to ask you again if you want to be with him. But the truth of the matter is, none of us in this room know when that day is coming for ourselves. So take advantage now of the opportunity you have with this invitation. The people that are coming up front will show you exactly how to ask the Lord into your life. They will show you how to enter into this relationship with God. If you don't know how to do it already, that is okay. We will walk hand in hand with you and show you how to do it. So as the song of invitation is sang, don't delay. Don't second guess it. Don't overthink it. There's a journey that God wants to take you on. But this journey can't happen unless you make a move. So while the song is being sung, come on down. Get this thing right with God. It's been time. Let's do it today.
Love, a word that comes and goes, but few people really know what it means to really love somebody. Love, though the tears may fade away, I'm so glad your love will stay. Because I love you, and you showed me, Jesus, what it really means to love.
If you're a believer in the room, I need you praying for somebody else. This invitation is still on the table for anybody who needs to receive it, anybody who needs to accept it. Now, also for the believers in the room, some of you are praying. I want some of you asking someone who is near you, someone who is close to you, ask them if they need you to walk with them to take this step. Don't make them move in isolation. We will celebrate the Lord as you come, but we want to make sure someone has you covered while you're walking. So as the song is sang again, take advantage.
A word that comes and goes, but few people really know what it means to really love somebody. Oh, love, though the tears may fade away, I'm so glad your love will stay. Because I love you, and you show me, Jesus, what it really means to love.
All right, the other part of this invitation, for anybody in the room who needs a church home. You know the Lord, you've accepted Christ, you're in that relationship already, but you need some people around you to help you grow up. Now, when I showed that picture up there of an infant, if you saw that infant outside in the world by themselves with no family around, you would call CPS and say, this is a tragedy. The reason why, because you know that infant stands no chance in this world without a family and proper covering. For those of you in the room who are new believers, or you know you still have some growing up to do, you need a spiritual family around you that will cover you, love you, protect you, and help you grow up in the Lord. Now, this place here isn't perfect, but it's pretty good. Yeah. Now, if it was perfect, we wouldn't let you in because you'd mess up the mix. But typically, I tell people there are two things to look for in a good church home. Number one, they teach, preach, and move by the word of God. Everything you heard today was from the word. Everything Pastor Cofield preaches is from the word. Any other minister that stands here is coming from the word. The life groups are based on the word. So number one, it's the word. Number two, there's love amongst those believers. And I gotta be honest, Good Hope has some of the most loving believers I've ever met. When I first joined, I sat on the back row because I wasn't too sure if I liked church folk or not. As soon as the service was over, I was in my car. I didn't want to talk to nobody. But what I found, Christians and church folk are not the same things. They just hang out in the same place. Christians lead with love, and there is love in this place. So one more time, if you need to accept the gift of salvation, you need to move on that or come and join this local body. we invite you to do so now.
The nights that I cried, you loved me. When I should have died, you loved me. I'll never know why you love me. It's a mystery to me. Now I'm glad I see Jesus. When all hope was gone, you loved me. You gave me a song that you loved me. Now I can go.